The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had a withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please have a seat. This past week, I read about a pretty spectacular rescue that happened in Paris. There was a four-year-old boy who fell from a balcony of the apartment where he lived, which was he fell from the fifth or sixth floor, and he just managed to catch himself on the fourth floor balcony. And he was hanging there above the street with this panicky crowd gathering on the street below him, when a young man, whose name was Mahmoudou Gassama, who was a 22-year-old migrant from Mali, he came by and he was on his way to a football match. And as soon as he saw what was happening, he swung himself up balcony by balcony to the fourth floor, and in less than 30 seconds, he caught hold of this little boy and lifted him over the balcony railing to safety. And of course, living in the age that we live in, somebody down on the street captured the whole thing on their smartphone, and the whole thing went viral, so you may have seen it. The French newspapers called him Spider-Man of the 18th, because the neighborhood was the 18th arrondissement where this all happened. And French President Macron granted him legal status as a citizen in recognition of his heroism in saving this little boy's life. But in the news reports that followed the rescue, there were a lot of legal issues that came up. First of all, Gassama had risked his life to come to France to join his brother from his homeland in Africa. And he knew that the chances of his being sent home were very high. Only 13,000 out of the more than 100,000 immigrants who apply for asylum in France managed to actually get accepted. His very right to stay in France was in question when he made this decision to climb the apartment building and put himself very much in the public eye. And then there were legal questions and accusations about how that little boy came to fall from the balcony in the first place. And it turned out that his father, who had just gotten custody of his son, had left him alone while he was shopping and ended up being away longer than he planned. And he was charged with child neglect. And there's no shortage of people in that kind of a situation ready to point fingers, as always. But none of that mattered at all when Mr. Gassama saw this little boy dangling precariously four stories above the street. What he said was, "I didn't think about it. I climbed up and God helped me." In the gospel reading that we just read, Jesus came into the synagogue on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, a Jewish holy day for worship, just like we are here on a Sunday. Only the Jews took it much more seriously than we do because, first of all, because the Sabbath was a sign of their identity as God's people. It was a God-given thing. And keeping the Sabbath was not just a matter of tradition, it was law. So on that day, there was a man in the synagogue who had a withered arm. He might have had polio or some other illness or had an accident, and he'd been left disabled. And the Jewish leaders who were there were watching Jesus like hawks, their attention riveted on what he was going to do. If he healed this man on the Sabbath, they had fresh fuel for their fire of accusations against him, because obviously he could not be a godly man if he didn't keep God's law. We read over and over again in the Gospels how Jesus had to deal with the blindness that comes with being slaves to the law. In following the letter of the law, and the Pharisees were much better at following the law than we would ever be, but they'd become blind to the spirit of the law. They failed to recognize the source of the law, which wasn't God's demand for perfection. It was his love. Paul, who was a Pharisee himself, wrote the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and every other commandment are all summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you don't do anything to harm them. That's why love is the fulfilling of the law. But the Pharisees who were in the synagogue on that Sabbath day had become blind to that. They looked at their neighbor, this man who was suffering from a disability, and all they saw was two choices. Would Jesus break the Sabbath by performing a work of healing, or would he obey the law by keeping the Sabbath? And it's one of those fairly rare but real moments when Jesus responded in anger. Sometimes that makes us feel uncomfortable, but he was angry. Think, he told them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or is it lawful to do evil? Is it lawful to give life, or is it lawful to kill? His point was that the choice before them didn't have anything to do with following regulations. Faced with the suffering and the need of their neighbor, their choice was between good and evil, between life and death. Because the truth is, there is no morally neutral place in which we can simply be guided by the letter of the law. That doesn't exist. To refuse to do good is to choose evil. To refuse to give life when it is in our power to give it is to deal out death. And it was that same kind of choice that that young man faced when he saw this child dangling from the fourth floor railing. It was literally in his power to give life, though there was no law that required him to do anything. It was the little boy's father who was legally responsible for his son's well-being, and he was in a fragile position himself as one who hadn't been accepted as a legal resident of France. But because he was able to do what needed to be done, he understood that the choice was only this: to do good or to do evil. To climb up the outside of a building to save a life, or to allow this child to fall to his death. And all of us sitting here in this room are probably never, I would say almost certainly never, going to be faced with such a literal application of Jesus' word. But it happens every day, many times a day, that we have to make choices in how we respond to the needs and the shortcomings and the disabilities of our neighbors. And for us, just like for the Pharisees, it's very easy to retreat into the safety of the law. It's really easy to excuse ourselves from actively loving our neighbor in so many clever and respectable ways. I know because I do it myself. We can say, I have been working all day, I'm tired, I need a little quiet. Need is a great word to use when we're making excuses for ourselves. We're supposed to love ourselves, right? Or we look at a number on the caller ID and we say, I really have every right to let the machine take that call because I know I have important things to do and that person is just going to babble on forever about nothing. And other times, we're so sure that the suffering of that person that's facing us is their own fault anyway. What good would it do if we help, even if we can? Wouldn't helping them just be a waste of my time or my energy or my money? And waste is sinful, right? What Jesus would have us remember is that our choices are not ever about what's legally right or wrong. It's much more serious than that. It's much more real than that. Our choices in dealing with our fellow human beings are about good and evil, which is not really the same at all. In the end, all of our choices are between love and not love, between giving life by our words or our actions, or dealing out death by our attitudes and our judgment and our lack of compassion. In an interview with a reporter after this rescue, Mr. Gassama said, "I would have hated to see him getting hurt in front of me. I ran and I looked for solutions to save him, and thank God I scaled the building and I scaled the front of the building to the balcony." Who knows how many people were standing there in the crowd watching that little boy in terror that he might fall. But there was one person who had the courage and the ability, because not many people could have actually done that climb, to act quickly and to save that little boy's life. Our responsibility is to be fully awake to those situations in our own life when we are the person whose time or whose gifts or whose abilities are needed, even if it's nothing more than a listening ear or a smile or a plate of cookies, whatever it might be. Our choice, as Mr. Gassama put it, is to look for solutions, how we can do good and not harm, how we can give life and not let it be lost, and then to do it. Amen.